This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I am quite flexible with the hours that she eats, as long as she has breakfast, lunch, dinner, and anytime she wants to have snacks in between, she can have snacks in between, because she's a growing child. So I don't limit her to how much she wants to eat or what time that she has to eat and all that.
Caroline and Ezra on the evening edition. It's 5:45 p.m. and we're taking a look at our next story, Caroline.
Yep, that's right. Speaking of the time, I guess I remember how I used to wait impatiently in class, you know, checking my watch every couple of minutes to hear this sound. Do you remember that?
I do. And you're just rushing back to the classroom.
It is the bell of freedom. It's the freedom bell.
I didn't see that. It was always fear. It was always fear.
Fear of recess.
Fear. Well, when recess ends, you hear that bell and you have to go back.
Way ahead of everybody else. Yeah, well, a piece of research has come out that's just going to, you know, blow all parents out of the water, because you know how parents are always concerned with mealtimes, right, for their kids. Don't eat this, don't eat that, because, you know, mealtime's coming up. You're gonna spoil your mealtime, and so on and so forth. Apparently, there's no correct timing.
Well, so I guess the initial premise was not to ruin your meals with these intermittent snacks, right? And so, then therefore, if you don't have a proper lunch, if you don't have a proper dinner, then it might affect you in some way, shape, or form.
Yep, that's right. So this piece of advice coming out from the Straits Times, saying that, dietitians and nutritionists are saying that there are no correct timings for children to eat, although they should have three main meals a day and two to three healthy Snickers, I'm thinking.
Yes.
Snickers. Two to three healthy Snickers. Yes, please. Snacks in between. This means they should be eating about every 3 hours. I mean, every 3 hours. It's like having giant babies.
No, but it does sound like, you know, every 3 hours is the right amount of time, because, you know, you constantly need to be fed as you're producing and exerting so much energy, right? Towards all your day-to-day activities.
I see. So you're just being fed fuel and then expanding that.
That's right.
I see. All right.
We have on the line Anthea Mulakala, founder and director of the social enterprise Makanla. Anthea, thank you for joining us. You've been working with Malaysian schools to inculcate healthy eating among school children. So how do you think our dual session schools should address their eating times?
Yes, we were actually, I run an organization. I co-founded an organized social enterprise called Makanla. And what we do is we set up a program to bring healthier food into Malaysian schools. And we recognize that canteens are seen to be the problem, but they're also a big part of the solution in schools. So when you go into a school in Malaysia, that's a dual session. You'll have the canteen serving at two times of the day. So usually there's a break in the morning at 10 o'clock when the kids have about 20 minutes. So that's a really short time frame for kids to get something to eat, and especially to get a healthy snack. And then they have another break in the afternoon, usually around 4:15 or so. The biggest problem, I think, is in the morning session, because as I said, one in four children does not eat breakfast. This we know. This is reported by the Ministry of Health and Education. And we also know this from our own research. So often you have children arriving at school without having eaten, and their first meal is actually at 10 o'clock. So they have low energy in the morning. And then if they eat something that's very high in sugar, or converts quickly to sugar, like white rice, as the first thing and the only thing that they eat, they're still going to be have kind of a peak and a trough during the day. And nutrition really does affect learning. And so this is why it's really important, if the first thing that children do eat in the day at 10 o'clock in the morning should be something healthy. In the afternoon sessions, we find in the schools that it's less of a problem, because most children are eating at home before they come to school. But again, at that break time at 4:15, whenever it is, the kids still should be taking something healthy from the canteen.
Right. So, Andrea, what are some of the challenges you face in trying to bring healthier eating to school canteens?
Sure. There's been a lot of press about this lately. There's a lot of stories in the news and journal articles about the fact that Malaysia has the highest rates of childhood obesity in the region. And this is largely because of the diet. So our organization, Makanla, is trying to address this from the perspective of the school and particularly working with the canteen. So I think there's two sets of problems here. On the demand side, children actually know what's healthy and they know what they should be eating. We've surveyed maybe over 2,500 children. We just surveyed another 450 kids in a school in Qatar yesterday. And kids actually know what healthy food is and they want to see more healthy food in their canteen. Mm. The problem is that they don't get that food.
Right. And do we know why canteens don't serve healthier food, even though there's clearly a demand of it from students?
And this is really not the problem of the canteen. Here we're looking at the supply side. Canteens are businesses, and often they're very unprofitable businesses. And the reason why they're unprofitable is often because of the competition that canteens face in our schools. So one big source of the problem is the illegal vendors that sell food right outside the school gates. So you have illegal vendors selling food outside the gates, junk food usually. Often you have the cooperati in the school selling junk food when they're supposed to be selling school supplies. In some schools, you even have a situation where teachers and parents are selling food or junk food or extra food alongside the canteen. So this is really disruptive to the canteen business. And these are small businesses, these are poor people often who are not making much money anyway, barely making ends meet. The competition is so stiff that it forces the hand of the canteen to sell what's competitive. And often, and unfortunately, what's competitive is junk food. So one way really to solve this problem, there's a few things that we can do. Really, really regulate and enforce. Enforcement is really important to get rid of those illegal vendors who are selling outside the school and strictly enforce that no one else except the canteen can sell in the school. Because canteens can be incentivized to sell healthier foods. And in most cases, we found amongst the canteens that we work with that they are willing to do so and they are willing to learn how to prepare and serve more healthy food. It's just that it's the bottom line for them. And when they're not making any money because of the outside competition, they're forced to sell junk food, even though they shouldn't be. So this is a large part of the problem.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for that elaboration, Anthea. That was Anthea Mulakala, the founder and director of Makanla. I mean, giving us some real insight there about how our own canteens operate, right?
Yeah, I mean, do you remember complaining about canteen food? I always used to complain about my canteen food.
I did, but you know what I figured out real early? I had to develop a relationship with Auntie Lechumi. Auntie Lechumi, you know.
And what did she do? She'd make something special
for you. She put something on the side. Yeah, yeah, just, you know, something.
You do this, don't you? I can see it. I can see that.
All right, we're going to play Name That Tune. Here's what we've been working with.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.